from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Microphones are good. Been talking a lot of NFL draft today, taking a look lead wide. We've taken a look at the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's take a look now at the 49ers with Nick Wagner. He covers the 49ers for ESPN. Nick, thank you so much for making time for us today. How would you grade the 49ers draft overall?
I knew you were going to do
that.
It
was a layup for me.
I give them an I, but not for incomplete, but an I for I have no idea how it's going to turn out. So I am very anti-grades. It is the ultimate exercise in confirmation bias, and as long as my employer doesn't ask me to do it, I refuse to participate. So on to the next question.
Go ahead, James.
I've always done the same exact thing. Like, they're like, hey, how about draft grades? Like, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, oh, well, yeah. No, that's kind of what we do here. It's like,
Then they got some players.
It's what you do. You can ask someone at the desk, go ahead and do it. That's fine. But that's not what I do. Like, I've got to deal with these people tomorrow when I gave them a D like that. And no, I don't think that I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to let somebody prove who they are. Yeah.
The whole thing, it's like you're basing the grade on your preconceived notions about guys that you've watched 20 minutes of YouTube video. I mean, like, that's what I mean by confirmation bias. It's just I like this draft because I've heard of these guys is often what it is. I think it's a silly thing. I get why people do it, because fans do love reading that stuff. If you look at the metrics, I understand that, but certainly not in my wheelhouse. Not something I'm doing. Like, again, unless I'm being asked to by the people who pay me.
This is Nick Wagner, covers the 49ers for ESPN. The Niners didn't take an offensive tackle. They did not draft a tight end. Are those still to you their biggest weaknesses on the roster? Or does the team feel like, yeah, hey, we're good enough at these spots to go win a Super Bowl still?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously I think it's been proven now over the last couple of years, really, that they're bigger believers in their offensive line, particularly in Colton McKivitz, than the general public is. And I guess I can understand that to some extent, because they've won a lot of games with Colton McKivitz as their right tackle. The issue that I keep coming back to when it comes to the offensive line discussion is that, yes, they've been fine in terms of the regular season. They've been fine for large chunks of the postseason. They haven't been fine in the biggest moments of the biggest games. And it's been a repeated issue. And it's not just right tackle. It's been right guard as well. At center, in some occasions, certainly back in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs the first time it was. And so I think that to me is like, hey, can you find a way to upgrade here? But I also understand to some extent where, first of all, the Niners are very picky about what they're looking for on the offensive line in general, but particularly at offensive tackle. They want guys who meet certain criteria in terms of short space, speed, things like that, arm length, all of those kinds of things. And picking where they were picking, I think we would all agree, guys, they were just kind of in no man's land in this draft. And for them to get one of those top tackles, they were going to have to do something significant from a trade perspective, either trading a player or trading like a future one or something to get up into range where they could get a tackle. And so I think all of that kind of combined for the perfect storm of they weren't able to get that guy. And then as far as tight ends go, I think it was really just a situation where, yeah, they could have had their pick of, you know, kind of after Brock Bowers, any of those tight ends or a lot of those tight ends, but they had bigger needs, you know, corner specifically there in the second round, and then getting an offensive lineman of some sort in the third round. And so, again, I think sometimes the draft, Kyle Shanahan always advocates, he wishes the draft was first, because then you could take the best players, regardless of position, and then fill out needs in free agency, but that's just not how it goes.
Yeah, they also, they made the bold move there in the first round to draft Pearsall. And then we didn't know what that meant for Debo or Brandon Ayuk. And at this point, I think we all know that that means the chances are that they're just going to have a really stacked wide receiver core, at least for a season. How surprised were you about the Pearsall draft? And what do you think, how do you think he fits in year one, year two?
Yeah, I wasn't that surprised at all in terms of the pick. I should say I wasn't surprised at all in terms of them drafting a receiver in the first round, because I would argue if you looked at their top three needs going into the draft, receiver was one of them. And I know everyone always looks at the year that's right in front of them and bases their what they think the team needs in the draft based on that. But if you look at it, this team is really drafting, and every team should be drafting for the next 4 years, not just the next one. But the Niners in particular are in a position where there's not a lot of starting spots available. They have to be thinking long term. And the decision at wide receiver, the Brandon Ayuk, the Debo Samuel situation, has always been kind of hurtling toward them having to make a decision. And likely that decision was going to be keeping Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel probably not being here. But it was also always likely, most likely, to be made in 2025, because they can afford to have both of them, especially with Ayuk. If he signs a contract this year, his cap number goes down. He's not making that much money, even though it looks like he is, based on what the contract would be. He's not making that much money, and Debo is. And then that when that finally reverses, Debo is probably no longer on the roster, and Ayuk's cap number goes up. So I feel like 2025 has always been kind of the target. Now, could that have changed, and could it still change if some team makes some crazy offer that the Niners are expecting? Sure. But name me a player in the league that's not available if a team makes a crazy offer, right?
Sure.
So, you know, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes anyway. But so, yeah, I think that's always kind of been the case. And so I understand why it got amplified, because we're inching closer to that 2025. But guys, teams have been calling about Brandon Ayuk since March of 2023. So This is not new, but the Niners want to keep him. He's always kind of been in position to be their top priority, and he only really kind of drove that point home with his performance last season as he continued to build on that 2022 season. So as for Pearsall, I mean, obviously the goal is that he's going to eventually step into a starting role, likely opposite Ayuk when that time comes. But for the immediate future, I think he gives them a guy who's really, really good going over the middle. He can work in with Juwan Jennings. The other nice thing with him is that he can play all the positions, so he can fill in wherever needed when the Niners kind of inevitably have injuries at that position, as we've seen in recent years. And if you go back to last year, when Debo Samuel was hurt, 49ers offense was about a yard and a half worse per play whenever they didn't have Debo Samuel on the field. And I think part of that is Debo Samuel's really good. The other part of that is they didn't have great depth there. So maybe Pearsall, I'm not saying he would keep it at that level, but maybe it's not quite as dramatic a dip if Debo Samuel's off the field.
Nick, hearing you say all that makes me realize that Rod Streeter has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. No, Nick Wagner covers the 49ers for ESPN. Where were we talking about wide receivers? Is Juwan Jennings done in San Francisco after this year?
I think it's going to be hard to keep him. And the way I've said this before, and I would say it again, like if you'd asked me 2 months ago, a month ago, and really any time in the last year, you know, to rank the likelihood of the guys being on the roster of those top three receivers in 2025, even though he's not signed, so it sounds counterintuitive, I would have said Ayuk is number one most likely, and then Jennings, and then probably Debo based on his cost. But the Niners have been trying to sign Juwan Jennings for a while now. Obviously, they gave him the second-round tender, so they think very highly of him. That also kind of prevented other teams from coming in and getting him a big offer. But I think if you're in Juwan Jennings' situation right now, the Niners are likely trying to sign him to a contract like they did with, let's say, Dre Greenlaw from a couple of years ago. And if you remember that deal, guys, Dre Greenlaw had had some injury issues. He'd also been really good. The Niners got him at a relative bargain based on the fact that he had some injuries and was probably, and he was, not probably, he was looking to just get some security because he hadn't really made that much money yet. So they got him signed to a deal that if you looked at it, you said, wow, that's really cheap. But there was a reason for it. It was because he had been injured, and even though he was good, he hadn't been paid yet, so he just wanted to get something solidified where he was getting some guaranteed money. Well, I think the Niners are probably trying to do something similar with Juwan Jennings, although he hasn't had the injuries of Dre Greenlaw, but like, hey, we'll get you here on kind of a medium-range deal. But if you're him and you had the year that he had and kind of especially performance on the big stage in the Super Bowl that he had, I think it's probably it behooves him to try to test the market, go through this season, see where it goes, and see if he can get, you know, an $8 to $10 million contract, something along the lines of what Kendrick Bourne got from New England when he went there, so, something like that.
All right, we're talking to Nick Wagner here from ESPN, and Nick, I want to. What's left? Like, the draft is over, free agency is dwindled down, but what other holes do the Niners have to fill here? How active do you think that they're going to be here in the next couple of weeks and months building up to OTAs and all that stuff?
Oh, I thought you were just asking me, Jess. I was going to say vacation is what's next. My
yes.
the best part of the whole deal. No, the Niners have, they'll have their rookie mini camp coming up here, not this week, but the following week. And then they get into OTAs, and then they get into their mandatory mini camp. And I believe the mandatory mini camp is like early June. So they're done, I think, even a week earlier than they normally would be. So there'll be plenty of downtime, which, frankly, guys, this team needs it. I know everyone wants them to be working and in their playbooks 24/7 all the time and not allowed to have real lives. But as long as these seasons have gone the last few years for the 49ers, especially for their veteran guys, that additional time, downtime, I think is really important for them. So it'll be good for them to kind of get away and have that a little additional breather than they normally do. As for roster holes, I mean, I think their eyes, Kyle mentioned that they're going to be probably looking for tight end help. I think if they can find a veteran tight end out there. And I will say this too, guys, as of today, one little incentive for teams to sign some of these veteran free agents that are out there, they can do it now without having to worry about the compensatory pick formula. Mm. That expires after the draft. So guys who were just unrestricted free agents, not guys who were cut because they were already not counting toward that formula, but you'll start seeing teams making those kinds of moves. It's why you saw, I think it was the Eagles yesterday that signed Mekhi Becton. So things like that agreed to deal, and it becomes official today when he doesn't count in that formula. So I think, you could see some things where they're looking at just to kind of add more depth at a couple of positions. Tight end is certainly the one that would jump out the most to me, but even another tackle who could potentially compete for a swing tackle job. Last year they signed Matt Pryor during this time period. Something similar to that could be happening here over the next month or so.
The 49ers traded 2 fifth-round picks to get into the fourth round to draft Isaac Garendo. Is that this kind of move, a running back from Louisville, is that a move similar to the Pearsall one in that it has less to do with this year and more to do with the fact that Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason are free agents next year?
Yeah, I think so. I think you could almost draw that direct line. I think you did, Kyle. I think you wrote about it kind of between a lot of their picks and just where they fit in, maybe not so much in 2024, but in 2025 and beyond. The other thing I think that's interesting about that pick, though, is we don't know who their kick returner is going to be. And I think it's interesting to talk about only in the sense that kick returner, like the Niners are openly admitting, like, we don't really even know how that's going to look with the way it's set up now. The rules and the way the kick returns are executed are so different, and it's almost more like having you want a running back type, like someone who can be a one cut and go and is going to like identify holes in a blocking scheme versus what it's been in the past where half the time you just want your fastest guy who can maybe hit one seam and go. But I wouldn't be shocked if he's competing or maybe even the favorite to be that guy. He does have some experience as a kick returner. Again, it's a little bit different, but still going back and catching a kick is an important part of the function, as Ronnie Bell could attest. So I think that's probably kind of where he's going to fit in. And I'm also just going to throw in a mention here because this is my guy, but, you know, Cody Schrader, the running back from Missouri that they're adding as an undrafted free agent, is just one of those kids that just doesn't go away, right? Like, he's his whole career, he's been kind of overlooked. And he was, again, in this draft, but he also was the leading rusher in the SEC, which is no small thing last year. He's very much an outside zone, kind of one cut and go, put your foot in the ground and go type of running back. So I think they have a couple of interesting rookies there, particularly if they're looking for the future and a life beyond Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason.
And a Cotton Bowl Classic champion, Cody Schrader.
Can't be underrated. if you want somebody who's been through the crucible, who knows how to win at the highest level,
sure,
you go to the Cotton Bowl Classic and find somebody that's got a ring from there.
Absolutely. Nick Wagner does a great job covering the 49ers for ESPN. Nick, thanks so much for hanging out with us today, man.
You got it, guys. See you later.
See ya. There he goes. Love that guy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.